And so I offer to him myself and I offer to him my faith. But the third thing that Paul talks about here is offering to God as an expression of devotion your fruit. Because you can be pretty certain of this. If you have offered yourself to him, and if you are continually offering your faith to him, things will be happening in your life and in other people's life, and you can present other people to God as an expression of your devotion, and you will give to God three things that delight him. Yourself, your faith, and your fruit. Is this what you're doing? You know, there's no question about it that God longs to look down from heaven as he did upon the offering that Abel brought. And as Abel brought an offering to God, it says that the fragrance of the whole thing ascended to the Father. And it was acceptable to him and it delighted him. In exactly the same way, Isaiah talks about the Lord Jesus Christ looking down from heaven and seeing of the travail of his soul and being satisfied. And I have an insatiable desire in my own heart, and I'm sure that many of you have here this morning, an insatiable desire to be so offered myself to him and to have my faith so continually being offered to him and being continually able to present other people to him as an expression of my love for him to such a degree that he looks down from heaven and sees the travail of his soul and says Calvary was worthwhile. The devotion of Christian service, it's an offering. But the second thing that he says is this. He says, I talk about the sacrifice and the service of your faith. Christian service is ministry. Christian service means that you're doing things. And don't get worried about this, because so many people get confused between faith and work. Some people think that you're going to get to heaven by what you do. You're not. You're going to get to heaven by what you have committed to Christ on the basis of faith. But the reality of your relationship to Christ is demonstrated by what you do. You aren't going to be saved by works, but you are going to demonstrate the faith that saves you by the works that you do after you've been saved. Faith without works is dead faith. And it is Christian service in terms of really engaging in spiritual activity that is the living evidence to the world around you and is the living evidence to the angels of heaven that your faith is real. And you know, sometimes we get the idea that it's a little onerous to serve God. Sometimes we feel, oh, I've so much to do and I can't get involved now. I don't want to do this and I'm so busy. And you know, that is exactly the wrong approach, because Paul says here that the whole basis of his Christian service is joy. Joy. And he shows that the whole reason for his Christian service is response to the living God. And I'll tell you something. When you get a man whose heart is aflame with the love of God, and you get a man whose heart has responded to the grace of God, you get a man whose joy is simply to be of service to God. And his joy is to share with others what God has shared with him. And it's just the delight to be engaging in ministry. And I believe that one of the things that many Christians do not enjoy, one of the things that impoverishes their spiritual experience is this. They never engage in service. They never engage in ministry, and they have a real hard time in offering themselves and their faith and their fruits to the living God, and as such, they never bring the delight to the Lord that he longs for. And they're impoverished themselves. Check on the devotion of your Christian service. The second thing I want you to note in this passage is the design of Christian service. What is our objective in Christian service? Why do Christians do what they do? I mean, is it just that they like doing the things that they do, or traditionally they've always done these things, or, well, I guess they feel a bit better when they've done it? I mean, what's the point? If you have no objective, you can be pretty certain you'll achieve nothing. Well, of course, the ultimate objective of all Christian service is the glory of God. But that's a nice sort of heavenly-minded phrase, and it isn't too down to earth. And we sometimes need something a little nearer to where we are. And I believe that Paul points out to us what our basic objective is. Knowing that the ultimate objective is the glory of God in all our Christian service. And he says that it is bringing people to an experience of faith that is our object, that is our design of all Christian service. And I think it helps to remember this. You could get so bogged down in so many areas of Christian service that you forget what it is you're trying to do. Sometimes the means becomes an end in itself. And if we don't have an end and we don't have the means, we don't get either way. You need means and you need ends. But always keep the end in mind. What is it? First of all, the end or the design of all Christian service is to introduce the concept of faith to people. This is a totally new concept to many people. Many, many people sitting in church this Sunday morning have no concept of faith. If you ask them, and it would probably sound very rude if you did, but I think it's a valid question. If you ask them, excuse me, are you going to heaven? They would say, I hope so. And they'd say, on what grounds do you feel that you're going to heaven? And they'd say, I have lived a good life. Or I have not done this. Or I have attended church. Or I have taught a Sunday school class. Or I have done this and that and the other. And they wouldn't have any conception of faith. All the only concept that they would have would be the concept of what they had engaged in and how good they had been and how bad they hadn't been. And they have got some kind of concept that if the good things they've done outweigh the bad things they've done, then the balances will sort of swing in their favor in the end, and God will say, come in, folks, you're all right. And this is a totally false concept. The Bible says that no human being will ever experience God on the basis of what he does. The only way that a human being will ever experience God is through faith. When by faith he accepts what God offers in grace. And the basic objective of all Christian service is to get over to people initially the concept of faith. And that isn't as easy as it sounds. But having brought to people the concept of faith, then of course the second part of our design or objective is to bring people to faith themselves. And what a joy this is. What a joy it was in this place last evening to have the privilege of not only presenting the concept of faith through the play that the kids put on, but then at the end to be able to show people how they could take simple steps to faith in the Lord Jesus. What a thrill it was to be able to talk with a number of people afterwards who took the step and exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Christian service is all about. This is our desire. This is our objective. And you know, one of the sad things in Christian circles today is this, that there are many, many people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but who have never discovered that they're down here on earth to introduce the concept of faith to others and actually to be the means of bringing other people to faith in Christ. There are many Christians who've never led one person to Christ. This is a tragedy. But not only is it to bring the concept of faith and to bring other people to faith, but of course having done that, it is then to lead them on to deepen their faith in Christ. This is the design of Christian service. This is what we're here for. I believe many churches have lost their way. I believe that they have forgotten why they're here. I believe that they have no real conception of what it is they're supposed to be doing. And because they have lost their way and are engaging in all manner of secondary issues, they are not being the lighthouse that the world needs at this time. There is no substitute for a church that preaches the Word of God, and there is no substitute for pews full of people who know God and get out from their experience of worshiping God to the people who need to be introduced to Christ. And I believe that God at this time is looking for men and women who not only know Christ, but who will then engage in a Christian service that stems from devotion, that has a real design, and will bring people to an experience of Christ and deepen them in that experience. Is this what you're doing? But this leads on quite naturally to the third thing, the delights of Christian service. I said earlier that Christian service to some people is a bit of a chore. Christian service to other people is sort of an evil necessity. Sometimes we engage in Christian service because, well, I suppose it's got to be done, and if I don't do it, no one else will do it. Sometimes we say, well, I suppose if I do it, maybe someone else will do it. And you know, to engage in any kind of Christian service on this basis is to miss the whole point. The lovely thing about Christian service is this, it is a sheer delight. Sheer delight. And Paul uses this expression when he says, if I be poured out, this is my joy. And if I am poured out, this is your joy. He says the whole business is just one great big story of exhilarating joy. We're in service. We're in business. We are serving the living and the true God. And I believe that as he goes on to explain what he means to be poured out, we can begin to see the joy of the whole thing. He talks about being poured out, his own life being poured out. First of all, being poured into the work in which he's engaged. I know that you men in business know that there are two kinds of employees that you can have. You can have the employee who comes in at 9 till 5 or whatever hours you work, and he looks at the clock as he comes in at 9, and he spends all his time looking at the clock till it gets around to 5, and the moment the buzzer goes at 5 o'clock, he's already shooting through the door. And this kind of person is not uncommon, and that kind of person isn't as productive as another kind of person. There's another kind of person who's there early, and he wants to be started at 9 o'clock, and he works right through till 5 o'clock, and when the buzzer goes at 5 o'clock, he sets his tools down and he ties the whole thing up and he's through. And while he's been there, there's been difference to him. He put himself into the work. He poured himself into the work. It wasn't a job. It was his delight. You find exactly the same thing in Christian service. There are some people engaging Christian service because they've got to, not because they want to pour themselves into the Christian service to which God has called them. And you can tell. You can tell in a Sunday school class. Sometimes you've got a Sunday school teacher who sits there and does the job because they're doing the job. And other times you'll come across a Sunday school class which has just come alive for one very simple reason. The teacher has poured herself into the work. And there's a giving of herself and a giving of herself and a constant overflow and outpouring. And that's exciting. And it's a delight. In fact, there's nothing quite so dissatisfying as a job where you start at 9 and finish at 5 and spend all day waiting for the buzzer. And on the other hand, there's nothing quite so satisfying as a job where you look forward to getting there and you're absolutely caught up in the whole thing while you're there and you pour yourself into it. And I believe that many people never enjoy the delights of serving the living and true God because they never pour themselves out of it because they're scared to pour themselves out. But not only do you pour yourself into the work, but you pour yourself out to God. Yeah, suppose reserve is our problem. We're reserved in our commitment, we're reserved in our outpouring, we're reserved in the abandonment, because sometimes we're a little bit wary. But Paul is talking here about the ultimate outpouring. He has martyrdom in mind. And shortly after he wrote this epistle, of course, he was martyred. Literally, his life's blood was poured out. But that wasn't all that he was talking about, because he uses the present tense. He says, I am being poured out. I suppose the lovely thing about a man who is looking quite dispassionately at inevitable martyrdom, and on the way to inevitable martyrdom is looking at the privilege of being in prison and serving the living and true God in prison. I suppose the lovely thing about that man is this. He simply regards himself as being expendable to God, and he is gladly pouring himself into the work and gladly pouring himself out to God. And of course, this may lay great demands upon us. And this means that sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. But this passage of Scripture, if it teaches anything, teaches quite simply that if there is a real devotion, there'll be a real offering. And if there's a real offering, there will be an outpouring. But then he talks about the outpouring into people. And here he uses Timothy as an illustration. He's hit hard times, this Paul, in Rome at this particular time, because he has a job that needs doing in Philippi, and he's short on volunteers. But he says, Timothy, here's something else. Now, Timothy was a young man who had stomach trouble. And Timothy was a young man who had a nervous disposition. And Timothy was a young man who came from a sheltered background. And Timothy was a young man who didn't seem particularly well equipped to be thrown out into the hurly-burly of pioneer missionary work. But God picked him up and hurled him out. And he survived. He survived in such a superlative way that God worked a miracle in his life, and he got this sensitive, quiet young man with his physical ailment, and he made him an absolute rock. And Paul said to him, this guy, Timothy, he's so concerned about people, he gives himself and gives himself and gives himself. And that's what we need in these days. For Christian service is a delight. It is such a delight when you pour yourself into your work and you present yourself to God and you get yourself into such a condition that you're gladly pumping your life into other lives. Tell you what to do. Christian, right now, think of one life into whom you are pumping your life. But then he talks about pouring himself into fellowship as well. And there's a lovely expression here that Paul uses concerning young Timothy. Young Timothy was his son in the faith. But he isn't sort of saying, now listen to me, son, I'm the father around here and you're the assistant and I'm the boss. He says, this young guy, Timothy, he just served with me in the gospel, and we were equals in the gospel, and we were knit together in the gospel, and we were bound together in the gospel, and there was a sharing in the gospel. And you know what's such a delight? It is such a delight to pour yourself into a team effort. It is such a delight to pour yourself into a fellowship in the gospel. One of my greatest delights is to meet with other men in the ministry and just pour myself into their fellowship and see what God is doing with them. One of my greatest delights, and I really mean this, is to meet with the men on a Saturday morning who come to the Prayer Boy Club. And as we meet together, just to be able to pour our lives into each other and just see what God is doing. This is exciting. One of the greatest joys of my life is to get out onto the mission field and just see what God is doing and pour my life in fellowship with these people and just get to them. And where there's an openness to me and there's an openness of me to them, just to be knit together. This is exciting. The delight of Christian service. Are you getting this kind of exhilaration through your Christian service? Or did it degenerate into a chore? But read on. He then talks about the dynamic of Christian service. And if you're going to engage in the kind of Christian service that Paul is talking about here, you're going to need some special brand of dynamic to survive. Not only to survive, but to triumph. And he uses two expressions here that look, in the first instance, to be identical. In verse 19, he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus. And in verse 24, he says, but I trust in the Lord. But they are two completely different words in the Greek. The first word means that I have confidence in the Lord. And the second word is that I depend upon the Lord. And you know, there are two things you need. All the time, if you're going to be the kind of person who can triumph in the service to which God has called you, you're going to have an insatiable, irrepressible confidence in the Lord. I guess the hardest place that you could ever engage in Christian service must be, I guess, on the Muslim mission field. It's been my joy to talk with missionaries who've engaged in work on the Muslim mission field. To work in areas where they see no response sometimes in a lifetime. To live in areas where there's nothing but sand and camels. To have a diet of goat's milk and goat's cheese. How about that? And to be in areas where if anybody did show any interest in the gospel, in all probability they would be poisoned by their parents who would feel that they were thereby doing God a service. And you know, the amazing thing about it is this. I have found some of the deepest saints of God that I have ever met anywhere on the Muslim mission fields. And do you know, there's something about those people that's hard to define. And I've talked to them. And do you know what I think it is? I think that those people have been so up against it and the problems have been so insurmountable that it has bred in them as confidence that God alone is going to work, that is absolutely unshakable. And you know, the dynamic of all Christian service that every single person needs to survive and enter time is simply this, an unshakable confidence that regardless of circumstances, God is God and the Lord is in business. But it's one thing to have confidence, but it's another thing to have the power that merits the confidence. And Paul not only talks about having confidence in the Lord, he talks about depending upon the Lord. And what a glorious aspect of all spiritual experience it is to be able to go into any area to which God calls you, depending upon the Lord to supply all that he needs. What an exciting thing it is to find yourself in a new area, like prison, in Paul's case, and to be able to depend upon the Lord for all that he would need to be adequate in that moment. What an exciting thing it is to be able to draw upon all the resources of heaven made real to you through the Holy Spirit, knowing that the risen Lord Jesus was within you, and that you draw upon his power all the time, confidence that he's working, dependent upon his enabling. This is the dynamic of all Christian service. Would you say that there's a dynamic about your Christian service that is based on a confidence in the Lord Jesus and a sheer dependence upon the Lord Jesus that is working? But then he talks about the depths of Christian service. Verse 19 and 20, he comes out with a piece of writing that sort of lifts the lid off himself. And I'm glad that Paul lifts the lid off himself. I think all people in Christian service ought to lift the lid off. Let people look inside. And this is what he says. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. The three words that I want to pinpoint here that talk about the depth of Christian service that Paul and Timothy experienced. The first word that I want you to notice is the word know. I want to know your condition. I want to know your condition. The second word that I want you to notice is this. He says, I want to know your estate so that I may be of good comfort. And the third word that you need to notice is this. There is no one who naturally cares for your state. And you know, when you begin to engage in Christian service in depth, you'll begin to find different things happen in your life. One of the first things is this. You will have a real concern to know deep in your heart how the people you're serving are going on. You won't be interested in them as statistics, and you won't be interested in them as bodies. You will be interested in those people as living souls, and you care for their souls, and you want to know their spiritual condition. And I believe that so often we keep the people to whom we are sent at arm's length. And as a result of this, there isn't the interest in people as people that there ought to be. Real Christian service will mean that there will always be an interest in people. But not only does he use the word no, he uses the word comfort. And you know, what Paul is really saying here is this: I'm worried about you. I know that there's a place where worry in a Christian is sin. But I believe there's a place in a Christian where not to worry is sin. That sounds like a contradiction, but there's no contradiction. If I am worrying about me because I am not depending upon God, that's sin. But if I am depending upon God to use me in the lives of other people and I am not concerned to the point of really getting concerned about them, that shows lack of involvement, and that's sin. And Paul isn't worried about himself. He's not remotely worried about himself. He said, if I'm going to be poured out, I joy. But he said, I'm joying about being sacrificed myself, but I'm concerned about you. So often the thing that is lacking in our spiritual service is simply this: a lack of interest in people and a lack of involvement in people that comes and produces a real heart worry as to how they're going on. I find as God is working in my own life since I came here, that in a lovely way he is beginning to lay individuals upon my heart in a way that he never did before. I guess because I moved into a place for a week and left at the end of the week. And I had a real desire to come into the pastorate to learn. And boy, am I learning. And some of you think I'm not learning quick enough. Well, be patient. It's coming. But you know, one of the things that I'm learning is this. In a wonderful way, God can take the individual and lay them upon your heart, and you begin to have a real concern for them. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ longs to see every saint of God in this place with that heart concern. A heart concern that comes from real interest in people so that you want to know their condition, and a real involvement so that you really worry over how they're developing. And I might be of good comfort when I know all's well. But then thirdly, I want you to notice that the depth of Christian service means an investment of yourself in people. No one, he says, but Timothy naturally cares for you. One of the men that I ministered to in these last days in the Allegheny Mountains was an outstanding young man. He was a black man who had spent 20 years in the United States Air Force. He's now retired. And he immediately went into the work of reaching the black boys, the delinquents, in the ghettos. And he began to tell me something of the work in which he was engaged. And he was telling me about the suspicion that he meets from his own people because he's associated with a predominantly white work. And he was telling me something about the opposition that he's getting from the militants because he won't be militant enough. And he talked to me about the threats that he has had from the Panthers because he will not associate with them. And then he told me about the suspicion with which he is met by many of the white people. And sometimes if he goes to a place where white Christians are meeting, they won't receive him because he's black. And he says he's lonely. He said, I know what hatred is. And I know what loneliness is. And I know what opposition is. And he said, the exciting thing about it is this: I know God has put me there. And he said, you know what happens? I go to a kid, and with all the opposition being shot full of holes from every angle, he said, I get to a kid and I try to win him, and he spits at me. And I tell him about Christ, and he curses at me. And he said, I go to these people and I go to their families and they throw me out of the house. And he said, I've had threats on my life. And he said, everything's been coming at me from every direction. And he said, you keep on and you keep on and you keep on and you keep on. And he said, if you keep on long enough, one of these days the light will dawn on that boy's face and he'll look at you and he'll say, you really care, don't you? And he said, that's the hour you've been working for months and for years. Because now he knows you care. And I'm afraid one of the ingredients that so often is missing in our Christian service is lack of this real care. This is the depth of the whole business. It starts with an interest in people, and it goes into an involvement in people, and so that in the end you regard yourself as nothing more than less than an investment in people. Is God producing this in your life? Well, of course, the next thing quite naturally is the discipline of Christian service, because it's pretty obvious that discipline is necessary. And young Timothy here is the example of the discipline that is necessary. He says, you know the proof of him in verse 22. The word proof means literally the caliber of him. This guy's got caliber. He's got guts. This guy, he can really stick with the thing. And he has got the spiritual moral fiber that will enable him to be God's man in this kind of situation. The sheer discipline of the man. He said, look at him. And how is this discipline seen? It's first of all seen in an unreserved commitment. But secondly, it is seen in an unselfish attitude. For in verse 21, Paul says this, everybody around here is seeking their own. Nobody around here is seeking the things of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the Christians. But he said, Timothy's something else. He's not just feathering his own nest, and he's not looking after his own spiritual experience, and he's not interested in how he's going. He is intimately concerned about God and God's work and people whom God is reaching. And he said, this is the kind of discipline we need. We need the unreserved commitment, and we need the unselfish attitude of the people who will be more interested in the things of God than they will in the things of themselves. And he also talks about an unrestrained enthusiasm that he sees in this young man. For in verse 20, he talks about him being like-minded. And like-minded in the Greek means literally like-souled. It's soul, not mind, he's talking about. You can get your mind to a thing, but it's another thing to get your soul to it. When Nehemiah brought the people out of captivity and led them to build again the walls of Jerusalem, he got them all enthused. And he said, now here's the project, fellas, we've got to build the wall. And everybody said, amen, let's build the wall. He said, okay, you get over there, and you get over here, and you get over here, and you get over here, and you get over here. And he said, are you ready, fellas? Go! And off they went. They had a spiritual revival, and they built a wall. But then he says a remarkable thing. It says, but the rulers put not their necks to the work. You check on it sometime. The rulers put not their necks to the work. Now, they were all like-minded. If they weren't, they wouldn't have been there. But they weren't like-souled. In other words, intellectually, technically, theologically, they said, amen, the wall needs to be built. Amen, something has to be done. Amen, we're the people who are going to do it. Amen, let them get on with it. But we are not going to have that kind of enthusiasm. We're not going to put soul into the thing. And Timothy was something else. There was a discipline in him that came from an unreserved commitment and an unselfish attitude and an unrestrained enthusiasm. Have you got it? And finally, we finish on a rather unusual note, but I believe it's a note of this passage of Scripture. We finish with the discouragements of Christian service. And don't let anybody kid you that there aren't any. The only people who think there aren't any are the people who haven't been in it. But the discouragements of Christian service are obvious in this passage that Paul writes here to the Philippians. And this is what he says. Verse 20, I have no one like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do you know what the problem was? There was Paul in Rome, concerned about the Christians in Philippi, and the only way he could find out was to send someone from Rome to Philippi. And so he went to them and he said, hey, will you go to Philippi? And they said, no. They went to the next guy and said, hey, I'd like you to go to Philippi, would you? And he said, no. He said, hey, listen, how about moving to Philippi? And he said, no. And you know, he hunted around and hunted around and hunted around, and he couldn't find a single individual who'd leave Rome and go to Philippi as God's man. Not one. This was after his ministry in Rome. This was after he has really explained what God has been doing in Rome. The whole praetorium is ablaze with the gospel. They're all excited about the whole thing. They're all talking about the whole thing. And he says, oh, listen, all you folks, he's exciting what God's doing. I want someone to go to Philippi. And he can't find anyone who'll go. Do you know what the most discouraging thing of Christian service is? The most discouraging thing of Christian service is to see that there's so much to be done and there are so few interested in doing it. And I believe that this is one of the chronic diseases of the Christian church worldwide at the present time. There is so much to be done. And so few who are interested in getting involved. Do you know why? Because in many, many, many Christian lives, there is so little sacrifice. And that's the discouragement of it all. How's your Christian service? Would you honestly say before God, God, you so captured me by your love, so shattered me by your grace, so burned me up, that I want my life and my faith and myself and my fruit to be an offering to you, on which I can pour myself. Because, Lord, there are so few who seek the things of Jesus Christ, and so many who just look for their own things. Do you know what we need? We need Pauls, and we need Timothys. We need just ordinary Christians, sold out to the Lord Jesus. That's all.